Hey, what's up, guys? The first Fawcast of 2017, and we're already starting off with Mark Charter asking really odd questions as we're getting ready to go. Before we dig into last night's game, Mark, what do you have for us today?
It's not that odd. I'm just watching a video here on Facebook, and I asked Ray how much I'd have to pay him to let me tee off and golf from his butt cheeks. So that would be him sticking a tee between his cheeks,
yeah,
putting the ball in there, and then I get a tee off, full swing, tee off.
How long is the tee?
normal length tee.
Plastic tee or a wooden tee?
Wooden, so it might splinter.
Splinter in the butt?
Yeah.
That would hurt. For you, I would need a lot of money. I'm talking at least over a gur.
Really?
Probably more. A good golfer, you know, I'd do it for a little less.
I would.
Because I would know that they would score that ball up and miss the cheeks. You, I would afraid you'd take a little bit
of skin out. I was watching this video of these two guys doing it, and it was a slow-mo video. And the guy absolutely does not miss the cheeks, dude.
He
hits the cheeks on the way through.
Do you think he does it on purpose?
I don't know, dude, but it doesn't look like
it
feels very good.
See, that's the thing. I feel like I'd do it for $250.
$250?
Because I feel like you would be somewhat careful to not.
You'd blade the shit out of it.
Probably. That's fine.
Way to go. We're, 60 seconds in?
We're a minute 10 into the podcast, the first podcast of the year, and Gray's dropping S-bombs.
Let it go, guys. Nobody cares.
Some people care. What we can talk about the Iowa State game, but we had New Year's. You guys do anything for New Year's?
I just hung out in my basement like an old man.
I had probably the lamest New Year's ever, partially because I'm older, partially because kids. But I was not asleep, but I was in bed before 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve watching TV.
I was in bed at about 10:15, 10:30. Set the alarm for 11:55, though, so we could get up. And Julie wanted a little smooch.
That is lame that you were in bed at that point. I mean.
Well, some people don't like to get pneumonia and other diseases. They like a good night of sleep.
We rest.
Yeah. I stayed at home, but I was hammered, and I didn't go to bed till like 2.
I wonder why you're constantly sick and pissy.
It was a fun night. I mean, but it is weird how you get older and you just don't want to do anything anymore.
There are a lot of times people invite me to do stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, well, then I'd get back at like 10 o'clock, and no, that just doesn't sound very fun. Getting old is, you realize how big of a loser you become.
Dude, the pneumonia thing was an eye-opening experience for me, though.
Sounds like it.
What have you changed so far in your life?
I just don't want to do anything now. I'm like scared to do anything.
Yeah.
Is that why you're kind of in a bad mood today?
No. Why would that have to do with me?
I just don't know. You've been salty all day ever since your tweet this morning, and then you come in here and you and Charter get into a political rant.
Well, I mean,
I just asked him how he feels about the excitement happening in 15 days. That was it. He doesn't seem very excited. So
I'm not. I'm not going to say anything else.
That's it.
Me going off on political rants in my position, nothing.
Probably not a good call, buddy.
Absolutely nothing positive that can go from that. However, it's kind of one of those deals where if you hang the bait out, like it's really hard for me to not take it. So we need to just move on.
Twitter will be an exciting place to be 15 days from now. You got to be on Twitter, though. There's going to be some stuff out there.
The president-elect is tweeting.
I might just log off for a couple weeks.
He'll be like live tweeting, ripping the FBI and the CIA from his inauguration.
Are you surprised it's decorum?
Has he invited Vladimir Putin to the inauguration?
I don't know.
He's giving him his welcome speech.
I did see, supposedly, and this isn't all that shocking,
Putin
but
has a guest room in the White House now.
Bill and Hillary will be there for the inauguration. Yeah, does that surprise you?
That's just standard. The living former president.
Bush will be there.
Yeah, I don't think old Bush will
be. Yeah, but they'll be there. But Bush, even W. Bush, never supported Trump, never came out and like,
no,
stumped for him or anything.
But I think it's just tradition that living presidents go to inaugurations.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
You know who's not going
to
be there?
You don't have to support
every other celebrity in the world won't be there. That's been the news of late. Like people like the Rockettes are supposed to perform, and then like one member's like, I can't do it. And even the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, some of them don't want to go sing.
What is the Mormon Tabernacle Choir?
It's
by
like,
the way, I've had these Mormons who will not leave my house alone.
Nice.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mormon Tabernacle Choir
nice,
is just...
Nice people, though.
They are really very nice, yeah.
And I try and talk to them, and I was probably too nice to them at the beginning. This lady, Teresa, she just keeps coming back.
Does she really?
Yeah, and it's...
So you're not saying no, then?
No, and then she brought a pastor the last time.
Oh wow,
dude! Why don't
you just say when they knock on the door and they're like, "Hey, blah blah blah," you just say, "Hey man, thanks for coming by, but Jesus is already a friend of mine," and you just shut the door.
Well, I did.
That's the end of it, man.
I explained to her that I was a Christian the last time.
Yeah,
and
she could tell by looking at you. You need a little extra something, though.
See, this was my problem, because I am really interested in theology. I read about it a lot. I read in my casual time and just history and whatnot. And I told her that. And then she was like a shark smelling blood at that point, trying to swap me.
Yep.
But anyways. Okay, so you're the Mormon choir. What is that again?
It's just the church, the Mormon church. I believe it's in – this all takes place in Salt Lake City. But they've got – it's just like a church choir. But it's a massive church choir, huge church choir. They're just famous for –
It's a Mormon choir.
Correct. And it's they're just known throughout the world. And I think they're going to be there singing. And
for Trump.
Some of the men – well, see, that's just it.
What's the –
just for the inauguration.
I'm surprised their alliance with Romney would let that happen.
Yeah, but even so, it's like it was pointed out to me the other day. You could say, okay, it's a celebration of Trump. Not necessarily. It's the official transition from one president to another. It's a historical event.
Yeah, exactly.
You could go to an inauguration to appreciate an inauguration.
That's why the presidents go.
Without liking the person.
Well, that's why Bill Clinton goes. It's not like he's, I'm like putting my hat in the ring of support of Donald Trump after he beat my wife. He's going because it's the tradition.
Yeah. I'm just excited to see Hillary again. It's been a while, you know, be watching.
Well, she
looks good.
Every once in a while, she pops up in like somebody's Instagram out in the woods. That's happened a couple of times. Somebody's out hiking and they run into Hillary.
Hillary's alive.
Haven't they come out and said that those are all fake, that she sets all those up?
In theory.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of people think they're fake.
Or is that actually proven? Or
because
is that
she had
like
dinner
theory?
With one of them before.
Oh, yeah. No, the woman, the very first one that came out after she lost was...
Oh, the woman who had the children.
Yeah,
like,
the girl in the picture with her.
Yeah.
Knew Hillary because someone posted a picture before.
They had dinner together.
And they were saying, what are the odds
that's actually brilliant PR.
It really is.
This,
yeah.
This woman that would have massive Secret Service protection, they just let random people in the woods walk
that's,
up.
That's
you
a
know?
Really good point.
So I don't think that happens.
A former president with her, of all things.
Yeah.
It's like, geez.
Yeah. Hey, shout out, by the way, to the Juice Company.
Oh, man. Corey's killing it over there.
My buddy Nick came in today. He was down there getting one after his workout, and he hooked me up with the Aloha free.
That's what my wife gets.
It's good. It was really good, in fact.
Corey gave you a free one?
Absolutely.
So you've gotten a free one.
Absolutely.
You've gotten a free one. Woody's gotten a free one. Corey, hook a
brother
up.
I brought you guys free ones one time.
Oh, okay. Those are free. Never mind, Corey. I apologize.
Get off Corey's back, man.
Stop talking.
I like the peanut butter and jelly. That's come down to be my favorite.
Corey's got a love where he, by the way, so the Juice Company, while I'm plugging in, because if you give me free stuff, I will absolutely talk about you. Just down from our office there, but he was one of the first ones in this new building. There's like five businesses down there. He's got to love his location, though, because right next door, a fitness center went in. And then on the other side of that, it's like a healthy, fit-to-go place, meals, grab-and-go.
A Subway there.
So it's like, is there anything better than, I guarantee you, those people leave their little Pilates workouts or their whatever, and right next door is the smoothie place. Grab one to go, man.
I go there about 3-4 times a week now.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Anytime I'm in Ankeny, if I know I'm going to be in Ankeny, that's my lunch for the day.
It's a good place.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's good stuff.
Love it.
All right. I guess we should dig into last night.
Do we have to?
Well, yeah, we don't have to. This isn't really the... I already wrote 1,000 words on it and already did a podcast on it, so I'm fine with talking about something else, but if you guys want to.
No, we could talk about it.
All right.
You guys, my wife keeps reminding me of this. I owe you guys some wings or something like that. And we've run out of bowl games other than the national championship game. So when are you guys coming over for this meal that I owe you?
Is there NFL games? We could do
this.
Why don't we
this weekend? There's NFL games, and Monday night there's the championship game.
Let's do like a Sunday afternoon NFL game in the playoff. That works way better for me than
that's
going
what I was
on
thinking.
Like a weeknight.
Yep,
groovy. You guys, let me know, man. I just got to run down to B-Dubs and get some wings, and we'll be ready to go.
And beer. I don't what want was whole the milk.
Final,
I want some beer.
What were our final standings? I saw you calculating earlier.
Nope. No, I actually didn't have that up. Let me pull it up here.
Oh, okay.
It'll take me a second to get the Excel.
Yeah, because I don't know. How did I do in these last picks?
I don't know. I think I went 2-3.
I don't think I did very well.
Really? Well, you had Minnesota.
Yeah, I had Minnesota and Washington State. Or yeah. I missed those. I missed Washington State, and I know I missed Baylor.
Yep, those
but
two.
I think I had South Carolina and Wake Forest, but I'm not sure.
The Washington State game was the biggest upset of the bowl season.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Gray had his confidence pool going.
Technically, the biggest upset was Idaho over Colorado State.
That was a big one, too. That wasn't even close, too. Why? I know you're a big fan of Mike Leach at Washington State, but what in the heck?
Yeah, they laid an egg.
That was a horrible game.
They laid it. I had to quit watching that game just in general. It was just so poorly played.
And then Minnesota has now fired their coach.
Tracy Clays.
He's out.
So. He gone.
Some turmoil.
He gone.
We got it up there, Gray?
Yep. Charter. You, Charter went 3-2.
Hey.
Williams went 2-3, and I went 2-3.
Hey, so I won the last week.
Yep. Arkansas, I had +7 when they were up, 24-0?
24-0.
I thought I had that one.
That was brutal.
Didn't score a point.
All right. Last night, Iowa State was a 10-point underdog, I think is what it opened at.
9-10.
Closed at like 8.5 or 9, whatever.
Yep.
Played really well for 37 minutes. They got
35.
To a slow start. A little bit of a slow start. And then the final five-minute meltdown that we've seen before. And, the way I looked at it, there's a lot to be encouraged of with what you saw. I think that they're heading in the right direction, but they blew an opportunity. There's no doubt about that.
What is your take on the thing that I
– What is to be encouraged about?
Well, they
– You didn't see anything to be encouraged about.
Number two team in the country came down to the last shot.
I'm sorry, guys. We got six seniors playing. Six seniors. Five, really, because Holden doesn't count anymore. Five. There's no, encouragement when you lose a game. We played it close.
I totally disagree with that.
I guarantee you the guys in the locker room were like, guys,
we're not good guys in the locker room.
But I'm just telling you.
I can sit there and objectively say that I feel better about this team after last night than I did before, after watching Friday.
The knock on the team is that
the four-guard thing's getting better. Like, they moved the ball a lot better last night. You saw Deonte Burton finally snap out of this month-long slump that he's been in. Hopefully he's a little more Deonte-like. Hopefully there's more good Deonte because of that. You can't say there's nothing good to take from last night.
No, I didn't say there's nothing good to take.
You just did.
No, I don't think there's
you
no –
You literally just said that.
There's no moral victories at this point.
It's not a moral victory. I said it was a missed opportunity. You literally just said there's nothing good you can take from last
night.
No, because they lost.
You lose.
It doesn't matter.
Gray's being a little bit black and white on this one. You go on the road in the Big 12 to the number two team in the country and you lose by 2 points. I don't have a problem with that. I thought we were going to lose by a lot more than that.
I thought we were going to lose by 15.
So we played much better than most expected.
So you can't take anything good from it. Thought they were going to lose by 15.
Here's the deal, guys. When we see a continuous theme in the last 4 minutes of close games where this team can't get buckets, they stop moving the ball.
Something needs to change.
They don't do anything.
Correct, but
they
said you can't take anything positive.
Okay. Here's my positive, okay?
So you can't take something positive.
Yeah, I'll be positive.
Okay.
Okay. I don't like when the first thing you start off and, they played better than we thought. And they almost won on the road against the number two team. Well, great. That's good for – if Monte Morris and Matt Thomas were freshmen and sophomores and they almost won a game on the road, good job, guys. But, at this point, they're seniors, and they gotta when you're up 5 or 6 points with 4 minutes to go, you got to win the game.
Yeah.
You got to win the game.
So are you saying that your expectations do not change throughout years? Like, my expectations for this team have changed greatly.
Yeah, that's why I thought we were going to lose by 15. I told you this on the other podcast.
So you never did mention your positive, though. You said you were going to get us one.
Positive. Four-guard line is working pretty well. They're going to get that rebound.
Exactly what I just said, and you said there's nothing positive you can take from it.
Are you going to let me continue to say the positive, or are you going to hang it?
The boy talk.
I think you're fluffing it just a little bit is all I'm saying. How about that?
How about there's positives?
But
I called it a major missed opportunity.
Okay. Do you want me to continue going with my positive?
Yeah.
How am I fluffing it when I call it a major missed
opportunity? Going with my positive here?
Go for it.
Okay. Thank you.
And you got to say something that I haven't already said that you shot me down for.
Okay. They're going to get beat up on the rebounds, and people are getting hung up on this. That's not going to change for a majority, especially if you play a team like Baylor where they have three guys that are way taller than anyone we have. But they're gnats there. I mean, we forced how many turnovers? 13-5. That's Iowa State's recipe to win. Free throws, you know, whatever. Anytime Bowie's your leading free throw shooter, you're not going to make a lot. Although he was only 1 for 4. I think that's a positive.
25%.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing we saw again. Iowa State pushes the ball. They're really good. When they play fast, they're really good. But this Iowa State team does not have an NBA player on their team. They don't have an elite scorer on the team that you can just go to get buckets. They have to share the ball. They have to play fast. And the Iowa State coaching staff should know at the end of four game, with 4 minutes left, they can't slow it down. They can't sit on it and just make a team only guard for 8 seconds, because that's what they've done in these close games. Hey, you guys take 22 seconds to sit back, get your rest on defense, and we're going to make you guard us for 8 seconds, and we're going to try to have Monte or Naz get shots. Those guys, as good as Monte Morris is and Naz Long is, they're not good enough for that. That's not their game, and all they're doing is putting these guys in a bad position to fail.
Okay, so do you feel better about the team right now than you did before the game? Because
I feel the same. I feel the same.
About them. The four-guard thing, like, to me, after watching it against Tech, it was like, well, that was at home against Tech. Like, it just, for the most part, worked on the road other than the last 5 minutes, which is clear. I mean, that's a legitimate conversation, like what happens in the last 5 minutes. But to me, there are steps forward there. I mean, if you did that on the road against Baylor, you can do that on the road against Kansas. There's road wins you can get now.
There are wins you can get. You got to get them, though. Like,
you
got to get them.
It's January 5th.
Like, I'm not giving up on this team. I want to see something at the end. I don't know about you guys, but with 4 minutes to go, I'm sitting there saying, guys, quit sitting on the ball. And they would do the same thing where Babb would pass it to Monte back, then they'd switch sides. They'd switch at the top of the key.
Why do they do it, though? That's the question.
I don't know.
We all know they're not scoring well at the end of games. We all know that they're basically dribbling until there's 3 seconds left and they're heaving a three. You see that. But why? It's not like the coach is like, all right, guys, timeout. Here's what we're going to do. We're changing everything, and we're just going to sit there and do nothing.
We didn't call timeout.
You know, or whatever the case is. Why are we doing it?
I don't know.
I guess I would love to – I haven't watched the game again. But Iowa State always struggles when – after makes. And Baylor made a lot more shots in that last 5 minutes for one. So that slowed you down a little bit. You can still push it. I understand that.
Yeah.
But that happened like earlier in the game too. I mean, the same thing was after a Baylor make. I would love to go back and look of how many of Iowa State's points were scored in transition compared to in the half court. Because my guess is they're not very. They weren't good in the half court with Niang, and now without him, they're even worse.
Yeah.
So,
and Baylor's a really good defensive team.
Correct.
In the half
court. So like my point is that Baylor was making more shots at the end.
I mean, kind of. They weren't. It wasn't like they're on fire. It wasn't like Baylor.
Iowa State was up, what, like five with how much?
They're up six with 5:33 to go, and they scored two more points the rest of the game.
And that's when so Baylor went on a, what, 7-2 run to end the game?
They went on a 10-2 run.
10-2 run. So they made more shots, and Iowa State didn't. I mean, it's basketball 101. I just think that there's some validity to what you're saying, no question. But it also, man, like, they're just not very good in the half court when you're not getting stops.
I know it makes it hard to score. I know I'm coming off as really negative, and I know that it'll probably piss a lot of people off. But to me,
coming in here and saying there's nothing positive you can take is insane.
Well,
now,
do you understand where I'm coming from, though? Because we have five seniors playing.
Yeah, but my expectations for this team have changed dramatically since November.
Okay.
So like, I don't have like I had them 2 in my preseason poll. If I would do it now, I'd have them 5 or 6. So like earlier in the year, when I thought Baylor would be probably not a top 25 team, if you would have told me, oh, they're going to lose by 2 at Baylor, I would have a different reaction than I did after watching last night.
I have no problem with them losing by 2 to Baylor. It's how they lost to 2 with a team with all seniors. That's my issue with it, right? The fact they're up 6 with 5 minutes to go and they can only get one more bucket with pretty much all
seniors.
It's
a trend,
on the floor.
I think, is what you're trying to say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I get it.
So, I mean,
I still feel better about them. I feel a lot more like they're a tournament team now than I did before the game.
No, I would agree with you there. They just, to me, just know your identity, which I think they're figuring out. But then Iowa State, they just have to play with that identity the whole game. Unless, you know, if you're up 10 with 2 minutes to go and you want to sit on it, that's completely different to me.
I loved the fact that the identity we still saw it form on the road against a team polarly opposite of them, against a good team that'll be number one in the country next week as long as they beat Oklahoma State. Like, that's a really hard team to do the four-guard push the – like the tempo was great last night. They shared the ball really well, 16 assists on 24 field goals. Like there's a lot of positive there other than that last 5 minutes.
They attacked the hoop. Yeah. You know, they miss layups too, and part of that, Baylor's long. Like, you know, they need to make some of those layups.
I do – Deontay can't make a layup to save his life. But he's also 6'4 down there with the trees. It's a lot more difficult than
– Yeah.
Give the guy credit because there was a point there with about, I don't know, 10 minutes ago in the game where Deontay was awful. And then he made that three, and all of a sudden it's like a light bulb.
That's
flip,
what I'm
and
saying.
He played well.
He's been in a slump for a month. That's another thing I took from – like, finally, for the first time in a month, Deontay has something positive to go home with.
Yeah.
And I'm hope – like, I could totally see him having 25 on Saturday against Texas.
He only played 17 minutes last night because he got in foul trouble.
Well, Young was in foul trouble.
He needs a rebound a little bit.
Holton only played 3 minutes. He's pretty much non-existent now, which awful. Is fine.
I was wondering last night, the shoes. Is there anything to those shoes for Burton? The bright, hot pink, or is that just a fashion statement?
I believe his mother died of breast cancer.
Because I was thinking that might be the connection.
And I think it has something to do with that, but I'm not positive.
When I watch games like this or losing, just not being very good this year, all I can think about is we missed Georgie. George was good. George was real good. That sucks. We're just not nearly as good without him.
Well, I mean, to me, you're not going to replace a George Niang, but they can do a lot of good things on offense without him. They just can't. At the end of games, you could give the ball to George with 8 seconds to go on the shot clock and just put him at the top of the key and spread everyone else out and let him go to work. And if they collapse, he was good at kicking it, and Iowa State would get good looks. Yeah. This team doesn't have a guy like that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, when I say there's no elite or NBA guys in this team, I'm not trying to kill them in that regard. They're still really, really, really good basketball players. Yeah. You just have to know that it's got to be drive and kick, and not ISO. You can't ISO and win with this team.
Yeah, Monte, especially when he's 4 of 17.
Let me ask you this question, too, and I know it's a little bit about senior leadership and he's the point guard and everything else, but at the end of the game, and it's happened before, Monte is designated to take the last shot, did last night, missed it, after a poor night shooting. If you guys are the coach, who is taking the last shot on this team? Who do you want to
Monte's
be taking the
made
shot?
Monte.
Do you want Monte to be the guy?
I mean, think about last year. Iowa, he beat on a last-second shot. Oklahoma, he made that last-second shot when Oklahoma was number one.
So Iowa, though, he was –
Texas in the tournament.
Iowa, he was what, 10 feet from the hoop? It was fairly close.
Yeah, it was a floater.
Range. Last night's shot wasn't a great shot.
No, it was a bad shot.
I honestly think, and I'd love to ask somebody about this, and I haven't had time to – when I watched that last play back, Thomas was open.
I think they were expecting either Naz to come off the curl or Burton to slip.
What I think, and again, I don't know, just watching it, I don't necessarily think that's how that was drawn up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think the goal there was to get Matt or Naz with an open three. And Monte was way too late on making a move.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't executed very well, obviously. I don't think that that's how they drew it up, but I don't know. It may have been.
I don't really even have an issue the last 8 seconds. I wish we would have got
the last four or five possessions. But that was the problem.
It's hard to score against Baylor with 8 seconds to go. I mean, that's a long team. They're pretty good on defense. If they can get back, it's
the same thing against Gonzaga. I mean, it's the same.
Yeah, it was the possessions before that really killed us, not the last. I mean, we should have got a better look.
I have way too many people bitching about the last shot. Like, they lost the game in the last 4 minutes.
I agree. I completely agree.
Anyways.
But why is it that we're not as good as we ever used to be out of timeout, inbounds plays, timeouts, stuff like that? We really struggle to get
– Niang helps, obviously.
Well, no, I know, but there's no question.
I mean, it's a weird deal. I do think –
It's going to be a long year, guys. We're not going to suck, but
just get to 10-8. That's all I want.
We're not going to be that great.
If you get the 9-9, you're in the tournament. Get to 10-8. That's my goal.
10-8, or maybe a 7 seed?
Probably.
10-8 in the Big 12?
You know, it's funny because.
No, it's a challenge. NCAA tournament.
No, I'm just saying. In the Big 12, they need to be 10-8, you're saying.
Well, I'm way more confident in beating Baylor at home. I had that chalked up as a sure thing. I had them chalked up as 2 sure thing losses at home and maybe 3. I feel better about it. I really do. Because
Kansas doesn't look very good right now, and you know they'll figure it out.
If they're doing the 4-guard thing and it's actually working like efficiently, that makes playing at home even more of an advantage.
It's easier to run at home.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So I feel a lot better about protecting the home court if that's working. And after Tech, I was kind of like, oh, let's see it against a – really good team, and especially on the road. And it worked. Like, you can see it evolving. So that has to continue, though. You know, that's got to continue. And, you know, if I know Solomon Young's the hot guy right now, and he was their MVP against Texas Tech. They don't win that game without him. But if you can get good Deontay at that five, like, that could be a really fun, efficient lineup.
Uh-huh.
But you've got to have good Deontay. It can't be black hole Deontay.
I completely agree. And it's got to be Deontay where he's rebounding like an animal, which we've seen glimpses of him doing that.
And he got pissed off last night. Did you see him?
He got mad.
Like, he altered some shots.
Yep.
Didn't necessarily block him, but
active.
He was – yeah.
Be active.
He
– yep.
After he made that one little deal on the left block, the really weird – it was like the possession after he missed the three shots in a row. He hits the three, comes back down. He has that really weird shot on the left block. And then all of a sudden, man, Deontay was playing defense. And that's why – it's another reason I'm encouraged, because for the first time in a month, that guy probably doesn't feel like crap about himself.
No, I agree. But here's the only problem with what you just said. He needed a couple makes before he let it
That's
affect the rest
him.
Of his game.
Yeah, I mean, at
That's
some point, a guy is who he is. And
I know.
He's a fifth-year senior. Like, that is who he is, unfortunately.
So we play at home against Kansas in 4 games from now. Between now and then, we play Texas at home, at Okie State, at TCU. Got to go 2-1 there, and there's potential to go 3-0.
Yeah.
Potential, but you got to go 2-1.
TCU's way better than we all thought they would be.
Yep. Yep.
And so is Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State is too. I was actually a little surprised to see him lose to Texas. I know it was at Texas, but those are going to be 2 tough road games, but you got to split that. You got to get one of those wins.
They could easily just be 1-2, though.
They could.
In those.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm just saying, as far as if you really want to go to the tournament here and you want to have a decent seed, you got to go 2-1 in those games.
Well, you've got to get some road wins somewhere.
Yep. Yep. And those are two of probably the top 4 easiest.
Yeah.
Texas, TCU, Okie State, and Oklahoma. Those are the 4 easiest road games.
Oklahoma sucks.
They're terrible.
Yeah, they're not very good this year.
Your boy Lon Kruger, you said he was the best coach in the Big 12.
He is. Well, behind Scott Drew, of course.
I was actually – that Baylor team, I'd watched them earlier in the year, and I know they didn't impress me a whole lot yesterday.
They had a bad night.
Yeah.
I mean, they're statistically 3-point shooting team. They were, 3-17?
Yeah.
They had a bad night.
And
that's another reason it's frustrating, because you caught them on a bad night. You played pretty well. I said going into it, they need 12 or 13 threes to win.
I said 12.
They had 10.
10.
You know,
yep.
They
yep.
get to there. Because what did Iowa State hit? Like,
they shot well.
They only hit 2 threes in the second half.
Yeah, they shot 45%, though.
Baylor only had 2 second-chance points in the second half, too, so they defended really well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Iowa State's going to be one of those teams, they can't get those initial rebounds. They got to tap them out. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not going to be able to grab them, you got to tip it around and play Plinko and have one of your quick guards sneak in there and grab a rebound.
Mark, what do you think? You haven't said much.
Former Minnesota head coach Jerry Kill, who we all know because he liked to faint on the sidelines.
Maybe he would
stuff.
Have seizures.
Whatever. He's not very happy with the firing of his Tracy Clays up there. He says, I won't be stepping a foot back in that stadium. And I won't be stepping back into the university.
And
Jerry Kill, by the way, was just hired as the Rutgers offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Good luck with that one, buddy. Good luck.
I don't know. I don't know everything.
That's kind of where I'm having a problem talking, because I don't know.
From what I do know, I still don't know if what Tracy Clays did was fireable.
He did was kind of publicly back his guys for supporting his other guys,
yeah,
right?
The problem was his tweet wasn't very well thought out. It looked like he was defending the guys who were on the hook for the sexual assault.
Yeah, but he was not backing it.
I don't think that's what he meant by that, but it didn't come off well, and it got enough people pissed off where it started.
Yeah.
And you know, the whole sexual assault culture that we live in right now didn't help, because I think – but I just – the way Minnesota's AD handled this, I don't know.
Well, from what he said, they had a meeting. The coach and the AD had a meeting before they suspended anyone, and it sounded like coach was on the same page. And then they made the suspensions, and then he comes out and tweets basically support of the players. And the administration said that didn't look very good, because you told us that you're on the same page, you support these suspensions, all of that.
Oh, okay.
And then the tweet came out where he was like, I back my players, whatever, which made it seem like I'm against the administration, which ticked them off and eventually led to his firing.
See, that's the smart thing for him to do would not have been tweet anything and just go to a meeting with his players and
Correct.
Say, hey, guys, I support you guys, and not make it public.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he wasn't to me, the way I read it, he wasn't backing the sexual assault guys. He was backing the other guys on the team. And as a coach, you have to have, like, the trust of your players, right? So that's a tough spot for him.
But even the players weren't supporting the players that got suspended ultimately. They did because they heard all these guys are suspended, and they're like, what the heck? You know, what's the information? So we're boycotting this bowl game that we're about to go play. Well, 2 days later, they have a meeting with the administration that says, here's what these guys did, basically, or here's what we think these guys did. And immediately after that, they said, we're playing in the bowl game. You were right to suspend these guys. So they were defending their brothers or whatever because they didn't think it was fair until they learned what they supposedly did. And then they're like, okay, that sucked. Yeah, we're going to go play in the bowl game. So I don't think anybody was really ever supporting those players. They just wanted to know what they had done or what the accusations were.
This is going to get messy.
Do you think PJ Fleck – or do you think he would have been fired if they didn't think they had PJ Fleck?
That's why I didn't get into it, but that's why I said I didn't – how the AD's handled it, there's something fishy going on. Because
I think they already had something worked out.
Is he going there? I haven't heard that.
No, but they met with him.
So I don't think – I mean, if I'm Minnesota, I would try and get a Les Miles over a PJ Fleck. Just the league you play in.
God, does Les Miles want to go to Minnesota?
PJ Fleck, he plays kind of a spread power.
The reason I say that, I like Fleck. I like Fleck more than you do.
Yeah, you do.
I liked him at Iowa State. Like I like Fleck. I'm a Fleck guy, so it's not like I don't love him. I like him. But I just think in that Big Ten, it's such a league that's dominated by like big name coaches, you know, like just really like larger than life figures. Miles would be perfect there.
Isn't PJ Fleck kind of this big personality guy too?
Yeah, but he's not a sure thing though. I mean,
there's no sure thing.
Yeah, but we see those mid-major guys not work all the time.
I agree.
So, you know, like I think Fleck's probably different. But I also think that like Minnesota, blue collar, grinded out, cold weather. I think that Miles would be perfect.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good coach. We've had this discussion before. I think only Urban Meyer and Nick Saban are about the only two sure things in all of college football.
Oh yeah.
Jim Harbaugh. I think Jim Harbaugh.
Doesn't Les Miles, though, need at least $3 million bucks to get hired?
Jimbo's pretty much writing his name into that category.
I don't think
Fisher.
Yeah.
I'd wait and see on that. I mean, I like Jimbo.
He's won a national title.
I know, but at Florida State, like, you know.
I think if he would have gone to LSU, he would have turned him around.
I'm just saying, we've seen Urban Meyer win at Utah. We've seen him win at Bowling Green. We've seen him win at all these other places. We never saw Jimbo Fisher win anywhere else besides Florida State.
Yeah. No,
that's my point.
I get that.
I don't think Les Miles would be willing to take that pay cut, though. Maybe.
What do you mean that pay cut?
Dude, I don't.
Does he have to give back part of his salary if he gets another job somewhere?
No, I'm just saying his let me look at what he made at LSU.
It's not a pay cut if you're getting paid additional.
$4.39 million
They signed
was his salary at LSU. My point is Minnesota is not going to pay anywhere close to that.
He won't get that anywhere, though, after you get fired.
No.
But he got fired, but he's still a great coach. I mean, it's not like they were sub-500, not making bowl games. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry the fan base wants perfection.
That's the problem with that Bama or that LSU job is you're judged off of your success against Nick Saban. Like, how fair is that?
Ed Orgeron was hired to be fired.
Well, just like Charlie Strong, it's very similar. They never thought Charlie Strong was going to lead that program.
No.
Kevin Sumlin.
Charlie Strong was screwed the day he got that job. Like when Red McCombs and those guys came out against the hiring, he had no chance. He had absolutely no chance.
I did not know this, by the way, but let me quiz you guys here real quick. Let's see how close you get.
Okay.
I'm surprised by this. So total pay, all right? So this is probably salary plus all the other crap that they get.
Yeah.
Can you name, first of all, who is the highest paid coach?
Harbaugh.
And first, like, what are the top five? Do you know the top five paid coaches?
Harbaugh makes like $9 million a year.
Harbaugh is number one by a lot.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason for that. It's something to do with like an insurance thing.
Yeah.
I don't know the specifics of it, but the $9 million isn't like his like actual like base salary. The reason I say that, Mark, is because I've looked that up before and been like, what the hell?
Yeah. That's crazy.
I think Urban Meyer's second, isn't he?
Urban's third.
I would say Saban's second.
Saban's second.
Stoops?
Stoops is fourth.
Fifth. No one from the Pac-12.
Nope.
It has to be a Big Ten or an SEC school.
Yep. It would be Franklin from Penn State.
Jimbo?
Jimbo's number five.
Yeah.
Number six got fired this year.
Les?
Not less. Nope.
Charlie?
Charlie Strong was 6. 7 makes way too much money in the SEC right now, I think. $5 million.
Bielema?
No. No.
$5 million in the SEC, overpaid.
A recent entry to the SEC. There's your...
Missouri's coach?
Nope.
Oh, A&M. Sumlin.
Sumlin makes Sumlin. $5 million. SEC again at 8 and 9. And then one's going to have probation problems soon. I'm positive.
Hugh Freeze.
Hugh Freeze is 9, 8.
Mackle.
Just got owned by the Big 12 in a bowl game.
Oh.
Auburn, Malzahn.
Malzahn. And number 10, you're all very familiar with.
He lives, Ferentz.
Ferentz, number 10. 4.5.
You notice, though, that list, for the most part, that's how, like, this was kind of my point on Les Miles, is there's certain, like, names and that just come with prestige, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, he would bring automatic credibility to Minnesota on several fronts. And, like, with the mess that they have right now, I feel like that would go a long way.
I agree.
In healing people and keeping recruits and keeping current players. Fleck could do that, too, because he's such a charismatic guy. However, I don't know. I think that they need a larger-than-life character to go into there.
Miles would be a safer pick.
I think so, too. Miles will keep you – I mean, in the Big Ten West, Les Miles, your coach, you should go 8-4 every year.
There's 58 coaches on this list that make $2 million or more. If you want to make some good money, become a head football coach, man.
Well, there's coordinators making over $1 million now.
Yeah. Multiple. I'm shocked by this. Number
what was Kiffin making? He was making big money at Bama.
Yeah.
Number 58 on this is Navy's head coach. He makes $2 million. I'm surprised Navy pays $2 million.
Hawaiian guy.
Yeah. Ken.
Ken, yeah.
Niamatolo.
I never even tried to say his last
name. I always thought he would be an intriguing pick when Iowa State was hiring.
Isn't that who Ben Bruns wanted?
Explain this to me.
He's a good coach.
Here's a name that's shocking on this list, by the way, and how far down he is. Would it surprise you, not if you know their salaries, I guess it wouldn't surprise you, but are you surprised at all that the 65th highest paid coach is Notre Dame? $1.6 million to head coach Notre Dame?
That is actually surprising.
That seems really low.
Do they have like huge bonuses in there or something, which he hasn't been getting lately?
They have blanks in the bonus spots, so maybe. Like
private school?
They could just be so arrogant that they think it's just a privilege to coach at Notre Dame.
That's shocking to me that they'd be 65th on the list. I mean, you got a lot of guys making more than Brian Kelly at Notre Dame.
How much was Art Briles making before he got fired?
You can't tell because it's private.
Private, yeah.
But it's rumored to be in like the $4 or $5 million range, so he'd be right up there.
Yeah.
PJ Fleck is 8-16.
What, Herman just got like what, 3? I don't even know what he got.
Yeah, I don't
3-5? It was less than I thought it would be for a 5-year deal.
I'll pull it up.
Yeah. Campbell makes just over 2. I think people
about
know that.
$19 million.
Over 5, right?
2, 3, 1, 8. Oh, this is not telling me the whole thing here. They're saying how much it's going to cost because they had to pay Charlie Strong 10.2, his assistant 6.3, and Tom Herman's buyout was 2.5. So they're paying $19 million just to hire him.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's more than 1 year of what they make on the Longhorn Network. They make $15 million a year on the Longhorn Network.
Dude, what's crazy to me is
think about the money
they're spending. They got a lot of money, but think about the money they're spending on. In my opinion, still not a sure thing. He's not a Les Miles. He's not a Saban. He's not an Urban Meyer. He may flame out, too.
He might.
And then they're in the same position.
I hate his offensive coordinator hire back from Ohio State.
He wasn't very good at Ohio State, I don't think.
Dude, Urban was going to fire him.
But they worked well together. I'm sure Herman will have a big say in that.
Herman came out because Ohio State fans were bashing him, saying Beck sucks. And then Herman came out and said it was known that Beck didn't even call plays at Ohio State. It's like, you're the offensive coordinator, though.
Then what are you hiring him for?
Like, what the heck, dude? What was he doing there if he wasn't calling the plays?
So was Herman not calling plays for Ohio State when Cardale Jones was there?
Probably not.
I don't know.
Honestly, like, would that surprise you?
No. No, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
I mean, well, who's calling him? Urban doesn't call the plays, does he?
It says right here, Herman agreed to a 5-year deal worth more than $5 million and escalates more than $6 million before completion. That's not $1 million a year, is it? Or is he getting $5 million per year?
Who are we talking about?
Like, how would you read that?
Who are we talking about?
Tom Herman.
Oh.
Agreed to a 5-year deal worth more than $5 million and escalates to more than $6 million before
completion. Yeah, I would say per year, so he's getting 5.
He's getting $5 million per year. Jesus criminy. That's a lot of money to pay a Houston head coach right there.
Yeah, but I mean, think of the competition they were under to get him, though.
And didn't Houston basically say that they were going to try to match pretty much anything? Did they have some big money?
They were going to try, yeah. They had some big boosters. But, I mean, you think, like, LSU was in the competition for him. I mean, he met with Oregon.
Oregon would have been a good fit for him. LSU, I would never have taken that job.
No, that's a terrible job for Herman.
Yeah.
Oregon?
No, LSU.
Oregon, I think, would have been a good job.
He would have fit well there with the Nike stuff and Phil Knight and all that crap. But I think he'll win at Texas.
What's your prediction, by the way, for Chip Kelly back in college next year?
Offensive coordinator at Ohio State.
That would be interesting. That'd be interesting. I'm bummed, by the way.
He got
a raw deal
at the 49ers.
He got screwed.
I'm on record thinking that I don't think JT Barrett, great athlete. I mean, look at the Clemson game. I don't think he's all that special.
I've said that all year.
I was bummed. I was bummed to see he's coming back, by the way, because my buddy Jamie Burrow, who I went to school with, his brother Joe Burrow is like next in line there, and now he's just like screwed. You know, I was asking Jamie if he was going to transfer. He's like, no, he's just going to stick it out, try to graduate. Because
Burrow's going to be a senior?
No. Jeez, man. Burrow has he has more time there. Yeah. He's not going to be a senior next year, but like that's the thing that sucks about college. We've talked about this before. You've got this Joe Burrow, who was like, you know, your Gatorade Athlete of the Year in Ohio and 6'3" and great arm and all that stuff.
Iowa State was after him.
And he goes to Ohio State and he sits. Go somewhere and play, man. I don't understand why talented kids want to go to school and not play.
You should have gone to the Morningside. Where'd you go to school?
Northwestern.
You should have gone to Northwestern. He'd have played.
Charter's prestigious college football career.
Why can't Iowa State ever get the kid that's willing to go sit on the pine somewhere else? Like, we'll build the statue before even get here,
they
man.
They just did.
What's the
D lineman's name? Australian kid.
Oh, Leo. Matt Leo. Yeah, I think, you know, some kids, it's important, but some kids, especially in high school, they want all their friends to know, man, I'm going to Ohio State. I'm not going to Iowa State, shitty program.
That
going
kid
to
grew
Ohio
up in
State.
Ohio.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
I mean, bloodline.
His dad's a coach at Ohio University right now, too. So, I mean, but still, it's just it's frustrating to me that guys go sit that are talented.
But they're not going there thinking they're going to sit. They're going there thinking they're going to go in and start.
We all said that about the Piersbacher kid, and look at him.
And then, what doesn't help, too, is
the Piersbacher kid at Alabama.
He plays a freshman.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
The transfer rules are garbage, too, by the way. This kid finds out, okay, this guy's coming back for a senior year, so I got another year where I can't do anything. Why can't I go transfer and start playing somewhere? Well, the NCAA says I can't.
Got to go to UNI.
That's stupid.
I agree.
When that happens.
That kid should go FCS. Just go play.
Yeah.
All right.
Doubt it.
Good podcast, guys. Anything else on the table? Oh, Mark, did you want to comment on that one guy's post?
I don't know. Was there anything to actually comment on? I posted back about it.
It
was something about real estate. Yeah.
It's actually very informative. Go check it out. It's on the off-topic forum.
Why don't we get that in the real – we have an actual real estate forum.
Well, the guy posted – I don't think the guy ever realized that there was an offer.
I got you.
I imparted my genius on there. And
did you? You dropped some knowledge?
Dropped a knowledge bomb.
How much are you going to charge him?
It's free.
The knowledge is free. Wow.
The knowledge is free.
Hell of a good guy.
Go get yourself a smoothie. They're good.
Yeah, I think I might do that. A little lunch. All right. Later, guys. Thanks for listening.